Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are on the second Sunday in Advent. And as you heard when we were lighting the candles, the first Sunday, we talked about staying awake, being alert, being watchful. And that's what the prophets did. They reminded us to be watchful. They said, watch what the Lord is doing. Be sensitive. Be discerning. Listen carefully to what God is doing. And the second Sunday, we've decided to look at what it means to be watchful and listen to the messages that are given. Malachi reminded us that God would send a messenger to prepare the way for his Messiah. John the Baptist came and fulfilled that prophecy of Isaiah and of Malachi by being that prophet, by being the one who, in the spirit of Elijah, declared the truth and prepared the hearts of people. Today I'd like to ask the question that, because people like to say, well, angels are messengers and prophets are messengers and apostles are messengers. But what we often forget as Christians in this day and age is that we are messengers. Romans 10 says this. It says, faith comes to hearing and hearing through the word of God. He reminds us that beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And I want you to know that I believe that God wants all of us to have beautiful feet. He wants all of us to be his messengers. That's why he's kept us to such a time as this. We talked about that last week, being the first Sunday of the church year. God has kept us for such a time as this because he wants us to be his messengers. This week we got a chance to honor a former president, and at George H.W. Bush's funeral in Washington, the pastor or priest from Houston reminded us of the quote on a plaque that he had received from George Bush, which said, preach the gospel at all times, use words if necessary. This quote, how many of you heard this quote before? A few of us, right? This quote's often attributed to St. Francis of Assisi, founder of the Franciscan order, and is intended to say that the proclaiming of the gospel by example is more virtuous than actually proclaiming with voice. Well, I hate to disagree with my brother. Every sermon gets criticized, and unfortunately. And evidence suggests that this is not a true quote, because we know from history that this is kind of a summary of a quote, but the danger of it is, and I thought he had a great message. I'm not criticizing the message. I thought it was a great message. Every time I hear this quote, I cringe, because it sounds like there's a dichotomy between what you say and what you do. But as we know, when you're a Christian, what you say and what you do should be together. There should be in harmony, right? What we say and what we do should be the same. There should be no difference. So to say that one has more virtue than the other is to divide them where they should be unified. And so I just found a little bit of information from the Gospel Coalition that I thought was really good. This is a quote. But here's the fact. Our good Francis never said such a thing. None of his disciples, early or later biographers, have these words coming from his mouth. It doesn't show up in any of his writings, not even close. The closest comes from his rule of 1221, chapter 12, on how the Franciscans should practice their preaching. This is what he says. No brother should preach contrary to the form and regulations of the Holy Church, nor unless he has been permitted by his minister. All the friars should preach by their deeds. Essentially, make sure your deeds match your words. Sounds like a good quote, right? That's actually where this thing kind of got over time. You know, have you ever played telephone with people? You tell somebody and they tell somebody, and so it kind of gets. That's what happened here. And it sounds like when you use the quote that was used in the funeral, it sounds like you're saying, you know, don't worry about your words, just worry about your deeds. Well, no, it's both. Essentially, make sure your deeds match your words. While there is a nice and good sentiment in the statement, be sure you live out the grace and truth of the gospel. If we're anchored in the gospel, if we take the message of the word to heart, then our deeds will flow out of it, right? We don't have to do works. We want to do works. We want to do good works. They flow out of our faith. And so I thought that was an important distinction to make. I, again, thought the sermon was great. I thought it was a very good sermon. But that was one of the things that kind of, I thought to myself, why is it that we think there's a separation here? There's no separation. And that's one of the things about messengers. Messengers speak with words and deeds. Messengers speak by their life. Our lives are a message, right? When at the end of our life, that was what I liked about funerals. See, I'm one of those weird guys that likes funerals when they have eulogies. A lot of guys say, I don't like eulogies because they're always talking about the person. Well, I like it because I always like the way people try to encapsulate a whole life in a few words. Because I know the challenge of that. How many of you have had that privilege or challenge to try to take a whole life and put it into a few words? It's a challenge, isn't it? And I always think it's fascinating that when people do that, they get to pick and choose the best things. They get to pick and choose the best things. Like getting shot out of the air, losing your crew, and getting picked up by a submarine. Now, what a story. Right? I mean, we always pick the best things. And so when we get to the end of our life, I would like people to be able to do that, to say three or four good things that they saw where your faith and your words were consistent, where your deeds matched your words. That's what makes us messengers. So in word and deed, Romans 10 and Philippians 2, this is what St. Paul is talking about to the Philippians. He says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making my prayer for you all. He must have been from the south. Prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all. Again, there's you all. Because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. You see, he loves the Philippians because they're not only talking the talk, but they're walking the walk. It's consistent. They're consistent. The good work that God started in them, they keep growing in it. He says, and it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more. With what? Knowledge and discernment, so that you may approve that which is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. Filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So the fruit of righteousness flows from what? Our faith. Our understanding. The knowledge that the Holy Spirit gives us. The knowledge that God wants to bestow on us. The love that he wants to abound in us. That's where all the works come from. So we're indeed messengers. John the Baptist says at the end of Luke chapter 3, it says, as the people were in expectation and were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Christ, John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, so clear his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. You see, they were in expectation because they saw the truth in what John was saying. So my question for you as fellow messengers, what a privilege it is, you know, that we get listed with the angels. They were messengers. We get listed with the prophets. They were messengers. We get listed with the apostles. They were messengers. Isn't it awesome that we get the privilege of serving in with those same amazing people? Well, angels aren't people, but you know what I'm saying. You get the privilege of doing this wonderful and awesome gift. So what is our message? Do we speak with words and deeds in a way that is consistent with the word? I mean, a lot of people, and I understand this, you know, and we're warned in Scripture not to just listen to any angels, right? We're warned that if an angel says something that's inconsistent with the word, we're not to believe it. I believe as many people who have been led astray by demons masquerading as angels who have spoken to them and they believed it because it came from a supernatural source, yet it doesn't come from, it's inconsistent with the word. It's important that we grow in the understanding of the word so that when we hear things, whether it's human or supernatural, that we are always consistent with the Word. There is no prophecy, there is no word or no message that's going to come that's inconsistent with the Word of God. The whole counsel of God is in the Word, in Holy Scripture. It's not, nothing is going to be inconsistent with what's taught in the Word. That's why when some angel named Moroni gives Joseph Smith some words, they're not true. Sorry, they're not true. Because they're not consistent with the Word. So I'm sorry, they're not true. So we shy away from dealing with controversial issues at the expense of the truth. How many of us do that? Do we shy away from controversial issues because we're fearful? I only bring this up because it's real. It's true. And in sincerity, I want to tell you, you're not new. This is not new. This has been with us since the beginning of the church. But yet, are we fearful of society, political correctness, or fearful of God? I like this little chart. Knowledge of the truth is a choice. We either live in the truth or we suppress the truth. That's really our choice. When God gives us the truth, we have a choice. We can either suppress it or live in it. And it's my prayer that we would be more fearful of God than man. That's what the apostles said, right? When they were told not to preach in the name of Jesus, what did they say? Who are you to tell us that we should obey men rather than God? My prayer is that we, when we recognize the privilege we have, I hope you leave today. I know I'm there's a lot of words here. I hope you leave today with this simple message. You are messengers. It is a privilege and an honor to be a messenger of the King. That's a gift. And God, all that God wants of us is to grow in our faith and for our actions to be consistent with our faith and for those words to get out. That's what He wants. He desperately wants. And yet, I know I've done this myself, and I know that we can be fearful, and therefore we don't share the message. But I hope and pray that you will see this as a privilege and an honor. Do you think that John was upset when he got jailed by Herod? I don't think so. I think he expected it. He expected if he was going to be truthful, that he might go to jail. I don't think he expected what happened to him in jail, but I think he expected that he would go to jail. So we see in Malachi chapter 3 these wonderful words. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. So do not... Then he reminds them not to fear him. Because he doesn't change. But return to me and I'll return to you, says the Lord of hosts. That's the promise we have. So what is our message? Well, I think our message here, again, it's the second Sunday of the church year, so we're still kind of thinking about what it means to be given this privilege of serving in this place at this time in history, that God has chosen us for this time. And so what is our gift? What is the gift that we have, the message that we have? Well, the first is hospitality. That's why we do pancakes. That's why we are going to have on Wednesday night finger foods for students to come and study with free coffee and other goodies. That's why we do what we do, is to provide a place where there's hospitality and a secure place in the midst of a hostile world. That's why we exist. That's why we're here. This is what the chapel's for. It's a place for people to find a sense of security in the midst of often hostile times. At the beginning of the year, you'd be amazed at how many students come through these doors looking for a place to get away from the stress of relationships, from the stress of being for the first time in a dorm. I don't know about you, but my experience in dorm life was kind of a mixed blessing. Some things were good, others not so good. Any of you have that type of a story? Sometimes you'd like to have a place to get away. Ever have a roommate that just was like nails on a chalkboard? No? Okay. I don't know. I don't know if kids nowadays understand that because they don't use whiteboards. But nails on a chalkboard was a horrible thing. Sometimes it just grates on you. But we want to be a place and a family where everyone who comes to the doors can belong. We want to have a plan to grow as we believe that the word will not pass away. We want a place to be a place in a family where you can become who the Lord wants you to be. And we're so blessed to be here today because we want to be the message that is unchanging. We want to be that message that I believe that the priest really made a good point. You know, the whole point was you preach Jesus. You preach Jesus, and you are going to be consistent with your words and with your actions. Both are virtuous. So let's preach Jesus. Let's preach the good news that is unchangeable. Let's preach the truth by providing a place of hospitality, by providing a secure place in a hostile world, by encouraging one another, lifting one another up, and being messengers to each other of grace. I want to close with this. I hear over and over and over again people who used to go to church. I meet them everywhere. I don't know if it's because somehow they figure out I'm a pastor and they want to tell me this, or if they tell it to me whether I was or not. I don't know. But I meet them everywhere. And I'll tell you what the issue is. If I could sum it up, you know, like I said, the challenge of summing up a life in a few words, well, summing up a testimony in a few words is difficult. I'll tell you what the issue is. They don't feel, when they come into a place of worship, the grace of God. They only feel the judgment of God. Now, as a pastor, that breaks my heart. That's why we put belong first, then believe, then become. Because Jesus died for the prisoner on the cross who repented and is with him in paradise, and for the one who hurled insults at him. Brothers and sisters, you're messengers of that grace. Just as St. Paul remembered with great joy the people in Philippi, because they were messengers of that grace. May we lead with grace. There is law, don't get me wrong. There's still, you know, the truth, and the truth does convict us. But let's lead with the gospel. Because people need to know Jesus died for them. Jesus died for them. That's what the message of Christmas is. That's what the message of Good Friday and Easter is. That's what the message of the church is. Jesus died for you. Took your sin upon himself, became sin for us, and paid for our sin. And he wants us to have a transformed life. He wants us to not only be forgiven and a child of God, but he wants to see our life transformed. He wants to see us become better and better messengers, both in word and in deed. Amen? What a privilege it is to be messengers at this time in history, today, tomorrow, and always. Amen.